WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is going on, beautiful people of Mid-Michigan and wherever you happen to be listening at? So glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Friday afternoon. Yes, we're wrapping up the week. It is already Friday. TGIF, folks, TGIF. So much to talk about, so little time. In just a moment, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, as we do each and every Friday here on the show, you are in luck because you'll get to hear my sit-down with Trevor and James Manuel. Now, Trevor is a highly touted high school basketball recruit who recently made his decision to take his basketball talents to the University of Oregon for next season. How about that? You will also talk about some Red Wings. As the Red Wings start their season, get a big win over the Bruins. MSU and Purdue will give you a preview of that one, as well as Penn State and Michigan. It's Friday, so that means Reflection Friday. And also, we're going to finally dive into this FCC and Redskins discussion. All of that and so much more, but as custom here on Current Sports, before we get to all of that action, here is Andrew Hayes with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this October 10th.
I'm Andrew Hayes, and here are your Quick Hit Headliners for October 10th, 2014. Hazlett boys tennis earned their fourth straight Division III championship yesterday, defeating runner-up DeWitt by 5 points. Both teams will play next week in the state finals. Grand Blanc took the Division I title, Midland Dow won the Division II crown, and Lansing Catholic claimed the number one spot in Division IV. Hazlett girls golf placed fifth at a Division III regional Wednesday. The Vikings had a team score of 427 and finished behind Cranbrook, Kingswood, Detroit Country Day, Warren Regina, and Pontiac Notre Dame Prep. The top three teams advanced to the state tournament. Senior Mary-Kate Martell led Hazlett with an 18-hole score of 98. Junior defender Holden Dipples scored Mason High School's only goal to lift them to their first Gold Cup, defeating East Lansing 1-0 Thursday night. Mason will now go into next week's Division II district tournament, having beaten the top-ranked team in Division I in the CAAC Gold Cup semifinal, Okemos, and the second-ranked team in Division II, East Lansing. Everett won its second consecutive CAAC Silver Cup with a 4-2 win over Holt Thursday night. Everett's Zam Hang led the Vikings with a hat trick. Three-star recruit defensive end Rashad Berry paid a visit to East Lansing last weekend and has shown considerable interest in joining the Spartans. The 6'3", 230-pound end said, quote, "Everybody was nice and great to be around. Michigan State is a motivated and focused team that strives for greatness." Berry is also considering Central Michigan, Northern Illinois, Kent State, Minnesota, and Utah. The Detroit Lions have banned the fan who allegedly shined a laser pointer into the eyes of Bills quarterback Kyle Orton during the Bills' 17-14 victory on Sunday. Mark Bezlak was cited for misdemeanor disorderly conduct and will have to pay a small fine for the action. The season ticket holder who gave him the ticket will have his season tickets revoked for the rest of the season. The Red Wings started the season the right way with a 2-1 comeback victory over the Boston Bruins last night. Boston led 1-0 after the first period, but a Justin Advocator deflection in the second pulled the Wings even, and a Gustav Nyquist power play goal in the third sealed the victory for Detroit. The Red Wings play next against the Anaheim Ducks Saturday night at 7 p.m. The Pistons beat the Milwaukee Bucks 94-80 in an exhibition matchup last night. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope led the way for Detroit with a 20-point performance, and Andre Drummond recorded a double-double, contributing 15 points and 16 rebounds. Former University of Michigan big man Mitch McGarry is out 5 to 7 weeks with a broken foot. The Oklahoma City forward missed most of his final year at Michigan with back problems. Georgia running back and Heisman frontrunner Todd Gurley is suspended indefinitely as he is being investigated for allegedly accepting money for his signature and use of his likeness. One source in the autograph industry told ESPN's Darren Rovell that it was known that Gurley was seeking between $8 and $25 per signature, charging less to an autograph dealer if he signed more pieces. Katy Perry will perform at halftime of this year's Super Bowl. After a month of speculation, sources confirmed to Billboard that the artist would perform during halftime at Super Bowl 49. The Wall Street Journal reported that Perry was shortlisted by the NFL in August, along with Rihanna and Coldplay. Texas prosecutors have requested that Adrian Peterson's bail be revoked and he be rearrested after he admitted to a drug tester that he smoked marijuana before providing a urine sample Wednesday. Adrian Peterson's been free on $15,000 bond and a charge of felony child abuse. The trial has tentatively been set to begin December 1st. There cannot be any action on the bond revocation or any arrest warrant issued before a hearing is held on whether the judge hearing Peterson's case should be recused. No hearing has been scheduled and likely won't happen until next week at the earliest. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners for October 10th. Now back to Al to start the show. Phone lines are now open.
And Drew, my man, thanks a lot for bringing those current sports quick hit headliners. Appreciate that. Again, folks, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So much going on in yesterday's, today's headliners, I guess you could say, but some of these stories being broken, of course, yesterday evening and afternoon. Katy Perry, how about Katy Perry performing at the Super Bowl? I'm not a big Katy Perry fan. I can't say that, you know, I have her CD in my car and I'm driving around campus rocking it. No, I can't say that, but you know, I guess she's, you know, her music is pretty hot and a lot of people like it. So that's relevant. You know, there'll be a lot of people tuning in for that. I would have hoped to, you know, Kendrick Lamar or something like that, but hey, I'm not running the whole, ordeal as far as scheduling artists to perform at the Super Bowl. Katy Perry. And how about Gurley? How about that, man? I mean, now, you know, Todd Gurley now being suspended indefinitely for Georgia. You know, that's going to hurt him. That is going to hurt Georgia. And they play in Mizzou this Saturday. And, you know, we talked about, you know, just how many upsets there were in the world of college football last week, Saturday. And, you know, and how MSU survived and was able to move up a little bit, you know, move up a notch. And in the rankings, you know, now with Georgia missing Gurley, I mean, this kind of shakes up things a bit because, you know, Georgia, as far as the USA Today poll, at least, is ranked, 10th. They're in the top 10. You know, they're ranked 13th in the AP top 25. This could hurt them. I could see Mizzou winning that game now. I mean, Gurley is an intricate part to that offense. I mean, hey, he's big time, man. And now that he's gone for signing autographs allegedly and getting paid for them. I mean, how many times have we seen that story? I mean, it's kind of like the, you know, Johnny, I always go back to Johnny Football when that was going on with him. I mean, so many instances of college players, not only in the game of college football, but just in college sports in general. I mean, we've seen this before. I mean, this is a story that is far too relevant in the game, and I can see both sides to it. As college athletes feel as though they need some moolah, you know, they're broke. And I can see that side to it, but hey, I mean, it's an interesting discussion, but as far as what this means for Georgia and on the field, it doesn't look good, folks. But how about AP? Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, I mean, the man just can't seem to stay in trouble. And, you know, it kind of looking at this whole Adrian Peterson thing, I mean, it seems to be just one story after another. The first story, you know, about the child abuse and AP getting in trouble for that. And then now with this whole, you know, smoking marijuana and failing his drug test. I mean, and then the whole party with Chris Brown. I mean, goodness gracious. I thought Adrian Peterson was squeaky clean. I mean, at least we didn't know what was going on behind closed doors. It's now all getting exposed. But that's why I kind of agree with Charles Barkley with the whole rant that he had. Hey, athletes aren't role models. Yeah, I kind of see where Charles is going from. I kind of sway on an argument because I can see both sides to it. Naturally, an athlete who's on the primetime stage for kids who look up and want to be like these athletes, who want to play the game of football or basketball or golf or whatever sport it may be, naturally a kid is going to look up to this athlete because that athlete is good at what they do and they aspire to be like that. But at the same time, it's a parenting type of ordeal here because even though these athletes are on, you know, the prime time stage and are wooing crowds left and right, and kids naturally look up to them, at the same time, as a parent, you got to put in perspective that, hey, yes, these are just human beings, and they do make mistakes. To hold an athlete to a higher standard than any normal human being is relatively unfair to a certain degree, you know, because of, especially in today's Twitterverse and in social media world, as a parent, you got to put it in perspective. And at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer that, hey, at the end of the day, the parent should be the one who the kid looks up to, period, point blank, period. So, but Adrian Peterson, man, oh, that brother just stays in trouble. I never thought I'd see AP in this much trouble, nonetheless. All right, but folks, we have a fantastic show in store for you. Later on, of course, with it being Friday, we're going to take a look back at some of the big sports stories of the week and give you our favorite sports stories in our Reflection Friday segment. We are also going to dive into Michigan State and Purdue. Many people out there feel as though it's going to be kind of a ho-hum game. You know, Purdue, not that great of a team, not that big of a force in the Big Ten. Why should we watch? And, you know, if you haven't checked it out, shout out to Graham Couch, friend of Current Sports, of course. He had a very entertaining article, to say the least, concerning the 10 reasons why you should watch Michigan State and Purdue. Actually, it was 9 reasons, okay? And if you read the article, you know what I'm talking about. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But yeah, the reason why he felt the need to write this, though, because there are a lot of people who feel as though this is going to be a snoozer of a game, a yawning game, and why should you watch? So we're going to break that game down and give you our reasons why we'll be watching, at least, and, of course, dive into Michigan as they will be taking on Penn State on the primetime stage. That's going to be a night game for them at the Big House. And how about the Red Wings getting off to the ideal start against Boston last night down at the Joe? You'll also get our thoughts on that one as well. And again, folks, if you want to weigh in on it, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will take your calls live on the air. But before we get to all of that, definitely want to get to our interview for today's show. And, of course, each and every Friday, we sort of recap our Current Sports TV show that we do each and every Thursday night at 10 o'clock. If you didn't catch it last night, it was a fantastic sit-down. I had a great sit-down with Trevor Manuel. Now, if you don't know who Trevor Manuel is a Lansing native. You know, he's now approaching his senior year of high school basketball. He went to Lansing Sexton for his first 2 years and decided to transfer his junior year to the famous Oak Hill Basketball Academy. Now, you guys all know Oak Hill. I mean, it is the foundational home of many basketball greats that have gone on to have illustrious NBA careers. Guys like Rajon Rondo, Carmelo Anthony, even current Piston Brandon Jennings went to Oak Hill. How about that? So, you know, Trevor went out there, honed his basketball game for his, you know, his junior year, decided to come back to Lansing, and will now be balling out for the Lansing Everett Vikings high school basketball team. Of course, Desmond Ferguson is the head coach of that team. But, you know, Trevor, I mean, he's the third-ranked high school basketball player here in the state of Michigan. He's the number 40-something ranked high school basketball player in the entire nation. The kid's pretty good, okay? 6'9", 200-and-something pounds. I mean, he's incredibly athletic, great player. So, naturally, you know, with success breeds attention. I always say that. So he had so many schools trying to come at him, vying for his commitment, including Michigan, Michigan State, Wake Forest, Xavier. I mean, I could go on and on and on. So, I mean, with Trevor being, of course, raised here in Lansing, knowing Coach Izzo, you know, pretty well, there were many that, you know, kind of predicted that Trevor would be making his commitment to Michigan State. But no, that didn't happen. Trevor decided to take his talents to the University of Oregon after just one visit. And the only visit, the only college visit that Trevor took. He was sold on the Ducks. So naturally, I had to start off our sit-down by asking, why did you choose Oregon?
It's good to start something new, get away from home. I mean, they have beautiful weather out there. So, I mean, to start something new, just get away and just experience life. I mean,
get away from the parents, huh?
Get far away from it. Yeah. you can't never get far away from them. Always gonna be somewhere behind you.
Gotcha. Dad, were you surprised?
I was very surprised.
You were.
It was a great, you know, opportunity. It was a great visit. I was surprised that he didn't take any other visits. You know, he just went there. He said, "Dad, this is it. I don't need to go, you know, nowhere else. This is where I want to be at. So I was surprised by that.
So you're telling me that, you know, Trevor had took just one visit to one college. That college was Oregon, and you were sold. What was the visit like? I want to get into nitty gritty. How when you went there, and did you go with him?
Yes.
Bob, you both went to Oregon to see the facilities and to meet with the coaching staff and whatnot. How was the visit? I mean, what wooed you, Trevor, when you went there?
I mean, everything, really. I mean, when I went there, I just felt like I was at home. When I was talking to the players and the coaches, it felt like I was just a family. I mean, I'm really close with my mom, my dad, and my grandma, and everybody else. So I'm like a family-oriented guy. I mean, when I felt that, I was like, wow, this is where I want to be. Then that's what, like, really got me.
Now, you know, when you talk about Oregon, you got to talk about facilities as well. I mean, it's the house that Phil Knight built, the co-founder of Nike, of course. Dad, when you went there and saw the facility that they have there, I mean, talk about it. I mean, how was it?
I mean, I was in awe, you know, just by the structure that they have there. I mean, like any parent that send their kid off to school, you want to know what they're doing, when they're doing it. That's the kind of structure they have there. From when he wakes up in the morning to when he goes to bed at night, he has something to do with his structure. So it's about business, you know, and they make them accountable. They got their own personal chef. Personal chef and everything. Cook their meals, the nutritionist. And,
wow.
I mean, it's like, you know, being in Wonderland for those kids. And then you got Phil Knight with all those different types of
the
creation. He comes up with these gears. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was great for him. You know, it was great for me and his mom to go down there and see that he's in a place that, you know, that he would love. So I'm happy for him.
Definitely. And you talked about family, Trevor, and you definitely have your grandmother and your mom here as well. I mean, just that family support is something that's obviously very big with you. Now, before Trevor made his decision to go and play at Oregon, I mean, as a father, I mean, what did your dad tell you before you made that decision?
He asked me if this is what I really want. I mean, he said, did I really like it out there that much? Do I want to go see other places just to make sure? I mean, I have to be there for 4 years. If I'm willing to do that, and if I feel like I'm gonna be at home, and if everything's gonna be all right out there. And I told him, I think that's for me.
Now, with the overall recruiting process, I mean, I've gone on the record many times to say that recruiting sometimes for me is just, first of all, I think it's overrated to a degree,
right.
And I think it's taken out of context in many regards. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, Trevor, I'm sure when you made the decision to go to the University of Oregon, and Dad, you can probably talk about this as well, that I'm pretty sure you got some emails or some texts or comments from different Sparty fans maybe some people out in Ann Arbor
right.
About why didn't you play for Coach Izzo or so on and so forth. I mean, right. What is that like dealing with, and what was the backlash like once you guys, once Trevor made that decision?
Well, I mean, my job was support his decision. You know, that's the first and foremost, you know, thing to support him and whatever he choose. Michigan State fans, I want him to, you know, go to Michigan State too. I mean, I kind of was kind of rooting for that just a little bit, but it was what he wanted to do. And some of the people that came, oh, you should have, you know, sent him there. I was like, I can't send him there. That's his choice.
Right.
You know, I just got to train him and get him ready for the world and for him to go wherever he wanted to go.
Trevor, how'd you deal with that criticism?
I mean, I got it a lot, like on my social media.
You did?
I mean, I just didn't pay attention to it that much. I mean, that's what I committed to. I'm not going to change my mind.
Did you ever respond to any of the tweets or Facebook messages?
I didn't respond to anything.
Gotcha.
I just left there. I mean, there's nothing I can say. I mean, they're good fans. I mean, they understand they wanted me, but that's not where I was feeling comfortable with.
You know what? Something that really stands out to me, James, is that when talking to Trevor, I mean, nothing seems to faze him. He's cooler than the other side of the pillow, okay?
Oh, yeah,
even when this criticism comes out of nowhere about, hey, why didn't you go to MSU or here or there? Right. I mean, hey, he's saying, hey, you know, he's sitting up here saying, hey, I made my decision. I'm sticking with it. Let's move on with life. I mean, is that something you instilled in him growing up?
Oh, yeah. As far as maturity-wise, you know, he's definitely grown. He's had to live, you know, his own life going off to Oak Hill, and he had to understand that he's out there on his own. You know, when mom and dad ain't around, especially when you 10,000 miles away, you know, you got to solve your own problems and handle your own issues.
Right.
So I think that was one good thing by him being away. He got the experience being away from home at an early age and producing and getting good grades and all those things. So he knows what he wants, and that's what he goes for, you know. And don't get nothing wrong. We love Coach Izzo. He's been a great mentor, you know, since Trevor been very young. So he's been in our lives. We've been in his office talking about things and other schools and different things he need to work on and get better at. So,
definitely.
I mean, it wasn't like, you know, we just said, no, forget Michigan State, anything like that. It was hard for him to say, you know, I need to go somewhere else but Michigan State, you know, because he grew up in that gym.
Exactly. So you guys are pretty close with Coach Izzo, then.
Oh, yes.
Very close.
Oh, yes.
Definitely. Now, I want to go back to the process. I want to just talk about the overall process for you guys because it was interesting. I remember you guys telling me a story about your guys' phone number getting leaked out to schools. I mean, tell us how did that happen?
No, I think he might have did it.
He might have did it on purpose.
I think he might have wanted that attention, so he might got kind of lonely.
First of all, how did the number get leaked, and what was it like once the number did get leaked?
I think maybe one of the, you know, AAU coaches, somebody like that, leaked it out. You know, because sometimes, you know, those AAU coaches, you know, want to. Yeah. Feel like they're, you know, important. You know, he got, you know, happened he had one good one this year.
Right.
But, you know, they leak it out and say, hey, here's his number, give him a call. But, you know, like I tell them, they need to call me first, you know, because I need to know, you know, who's calling my son.
So. Gotcha. So was the phone ringing, going off the hook, like, every day?
Mom, was it crazy?
I'm pretty sure. She's shaking her head.
It was real crazy. I mean, we got some good calls, though, from, like, Danny Manning and Larry Brown and...
Probably would faint if Larry Brown called my phone, right. Okay?
You know, and Chris Collins and Doug Collins. I mean, so we got a lot of great calls.
Oh, man.
You know, from some very high-profile people, so.
That's
unbelievable. That was very interesting. But the calls, like, at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning.
12 or when they were calling?
Yeah, man.
Come on.
Yeah, they were calling. They wanted him bad. I mean, especially when he did well.
Yeah.
In some big tournaments, you know. And you get those calls right away. As soon as they, you know, at the game, when time the game's over, your phone's ringing.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. So I'm like, how you get my number first? You know?
Yeah, get Dad's number first, all right? Okay, now getting away from the whole recruiting process and your decision to go to Oregon, I want to talk about your high school career, Trevor, because you actually, during your junior year, you took time your junior year to go to Virginia, right? To play for the famous Oak Hill Basketball Academy. I mean, some of the greats have played there, from Rajon Rondo to current Piston Brandon Jennings, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Oak Hill has a storied history. Why did you decide to go there, and what was your experience like there, Trevor?
I mean, you really can't turn Oak Hill down. I mean, I don't know anybody who's a basketball player in the nation that was like, oh, no, I'm not going to Oak Hill.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that. It's just a legacy. And it was a great feeling to be, like, accepted and go in there. And then while I was out there, it's just like a brotherhood. I mean, we met all the guys who were like family, tighter than tight.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a great experience. And then playing for Coach Smith, I mean, it was great. He's one of the best coach in the nation. I mean, it was just a really wonderful feeling.
So when you got there, Trevor, I mean, was there kind of a wow factor? Did you kind of have to pinch yourself when you first got there to say, oh, my goodness, I'm playing for one of the most prestigious high school basketball programs in the entire nation? I mean, was there a wow factor there as well?
Yeah, as soon as I got there, I unpacked my bags and I went to the gym and shot around. I was like, wow, looking at all the jerseys hanging around the ceiling. I was like, this feels like a dream right now.
Unbelievable. So now, you know, you return to Lansing. There was a lot of buzz as to another decision. You had two big decisions here as to what high school program you would play for, because I'm sure it was on your mind. You know, we had Carlton Valentine on the show to talk about it. Carlton returning from taking a year off himself to enjoy watching his sons Drew and Denzel play for the MSU men's basketball program. But he still had the coaching bug. Return to Coach Sexton. That's your former coach. Why did you choose to go the other route and play for Everett?
I mean, it kind of was a decision, but then it really wasn't. I lived in the district of Everett, if I could have found a way, I really would have thought about it like differently to going back and play with Coach V. I mean, I love him. Like I told you, he's like my dad, basically.
Right.
He's always been there for me, gave me all types of advice and everything like that. It'd have been really cool to play with him, but it's good just to always start something new as well.
But you're also following in your father's footsteps, because I know that you actually, James, played for Lansing Everett back in the 80s. Came pretty close to a state championship, am I right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we lost in the quarterfinals against Antoine Joubert and Detroit Southwestern. Game we should have won. We should have won it all that year. We had the team.
When you see your son sort of walking in your footsteps, so to speak, I mean, hey, does that sort of pull on the heart a little bit?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, every time he, you know, steps on the floor, or, you know, when he gets home from school, I'm asking what kind of day you have. You know, I'm just happy for him, you know, because he's happy and looking at the body language, see if he really likes it and stuff like that. So it's good that he's going to be a Viking.
Gotta love that. I'm excited to see you play this upcoming season. I tell you that. For Desmond, right? Desmond Ferguson, head coach over there. Great stuff. Desmond's also been on Current Sports. All right, well, before we get to the 12th man, I definitely got to bring up this, because you guys are so kind that you gave me, you also gave me a Team Trevor shirt. Now, this is the first time, I feel pretty honored and privileged here that you guys are releasing this, because it's the first time you've talked about Team Trevor. What is it and how did it come about, Trevor?
Well, Team Trevor is a nonprofit organization where we're going to be helping kids in this area, Lansing and other areas around us. We're going to help, like, kids try to get to college and, like, prepare the kids for life, actually. And whoever wants to get the help, for trying to provide that for him, because I know as a kid growing up, I mean, I just had him trying to help me get there. But if I had more people like what we're trying to do for them, it would have been a lot easier.
Definitely. I mean, how did this idea come about for you, Trevor? Because that's pretty remarkable. I mean, you still being in high school and having a philanthropic endeavor like this close to your heart and want to start it up from the ground up. I mean, how did that idea come about?
I mean, just growing up, man. My dad has always told me it's been about the community. You're nothing without your community. I've been supported by my community, so I wanted to give back to my community.
How cool was it when Trevor came to you, James, and told you he wanted to embark on this?
I felt like a proud dad, you know, and then he asked, you know, he gave me a big task to, you know, help him put everything together. But, you know, he's always worked with autistic kids and stuff like that when he's in school, so he's always been helping. So it was good, you know, good for me for him to ask me to help put this, you know, help him put this together.
Definitely. So right now, I mean, as far as the progression of where Team Trevor is, I mean, is there a facility you guys are looking at, and when is the projected official start date? I guess you could say.
Hopefully by next summer.
Next summer.
Yes, sir. We're working on it right now and putting everything together, working with Matt Brown and a few other businessmen, Dave Dela Cruz and Steve Crandall. So we're working real hard on getting this thing going up so we can get these kids ready, you know, because we need to get them off the street and get them doing something positive, give them some hope.
Definitely.
You know, and give them an outreach in life, just something to look forward to.
And I understand both of you have pretty big dreams for this endeavor. It's not, because I came in when I first heard about it, I'm like, okay, well, this would be a cool thing for Lansing.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But you guys are thinking big here. You guys just don't want this to be a Lansing thing. I mean, right. You guys want to take this everywhere across the nation,
yes, right?
I mean, how did that come about? How did that idea come about?
Well, I mean, because, you know, they really, you know, trying to market him up there in Oregon, too, because he's going to be one of their top players or top highly profiled players up there, so why not take advantage of that and bring the kids in, you know, in the Oregon area, you know, to the same kind of thing that we're trying to do here, which is going to work, because they're talking
right.
about it already.
Definitely.
Get them down there. We had talked to a few other coaches down there about Trevor going out there helping the kids in the community. They're all excited about it. They can't wait for him to get there.
Trevor, why is helping kids so close to your heart?
I mean, kids are the future. I was a kid, and I really didn't have anybody to help me. I mean, I'm growing up now. I'm a kid.
He's mature beyond his years, okay? Trevor's mature beyond his years, so I understand. But yeah, go ahead.
I was a young kid, a young kid at one time, and my dad has always been there to help me. And if I could go back and do the same thing, and then they'll do the same thing for the next kid, and then we just have like a world that just keeps on helping each other. I mean, trying to help the community first, and then take bigger steps and try to just change the world, really. If it gets that far, that'd be great.
I'm sitting here looking at your dad. I see your grandma is also in the audience, as well as your mom. I mean, a lot of this also has to, you know, it's a big part of your upbringing as well. I mean, this is in your DNA. I mean, they certainly raised you right, Trevor. I mean, how much do you want this to be a success, not only, you know, for yourself, but also to show them that, hey, you raised a good kid?
I want it bad, really, because, I mean, I haven't really done nothing yet besides my basketball career, and that's not going to last forever. So if I have this, I mean, this is a thing that can go on from generation to generation.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you, you got a good kid here. Trevor, he's mature beyond his years. Trevor, thanks a lot, my man. You guys got five more minutes.
Okay.
Stick around, because
yes,
the 12th man starts right now. All right, well, it is time. Yes, that time of the show, my favorite time of the show, where we go to the 12th man. Now, this week, we're going to go to our social media pages at facebook.com/currentsports and also my Twitter page at AlMartinWKAR. Some folks out there, the current sports people, have some interesting questions for you both. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. First question comes from Tom in Lansing. He wants to know, this is for both of you guys, who was your childhood basketball hero and why? We'll start with you, James.
Mine was Magic. You know, just growing up here, my dad used to work at Everett, and just seeing Urban on, you know, every game, it was just awesome. So,
Trevor?
Magic.
Yours is Magic as well. It just shows you how Magic kind of just transcends from generation to generation. Why is yours Magic?
I mean, I just grew up with him. We watched all the Magic. I can't stop watching him. Mm-hmm. Every time I turn on the TV with him, it's something about Magic.
Including at the beginning of current sports today.
Right. Great highlights. You can't go wrong.
Exactly.
With the game.
That's true. Now, James, you were telling me off the air that there's a pretty cool story about Trevor when he was little, right, playing pickup basketball at the Breslin Center.
Yes.
Talk
about
that.
Yeah, we were having an open gym down there one day. They were playing. I think I was watching that day. And Trevor ran out there and grabbed the ball. The ball was rolling on the floor. Trevor went and grabbed it, and he started going to the other end on the court, and everybody's looking at him like, what are you doing? You know, so Magic made everybody go to the side, and Him and Trevor played one-on-one while everybody else watched. I mean, everybody like, what's going on? We coming for the run.
Magic's playing one-on-one with Trevor. Yeah, little Trevor
he
at the time.
He took his time, man. Everybody got to wait because this is what he do. You know, nobody going to argue with Magic. You know, so.
Did you beat him, Trevor?
Yeah, I beat him. He let me win, but I got to say I beat Magic.
Exactly. One of the very few humans can say they beat Magic Johnson one-on-one. Got to love it. Good question. Time from Lansing. Interesting story. All right, next question comes from Jot from Clinton Township. Did you ever think, this is for you, Dad, did you ever think that Trevor would turn out to be the player that he is now?
Yes.
And why?
God told me. Even when he blessed me with this boy, I mean, I just knew he was going to be something great. You know, I really did. I mean, I just seen it, you know, having my own son and be able to mold and create something he really wanted to be. We worked hard.
Definitely.
And I always knew it from the beginning. Once he came out, you know, I knew he was going to be something.
Was there one specific moment when you said, oh, my goodness, my son is pretty good at this game?
Yeah, I mean, it was his freshman year. They played against East Lansing, I believe. Mm-hmm. One of his teammates shot a shot, you know, about a couple seconds left off the clock and came off the rim. He jumped up. I mean, was looking right at the rim, just flushed it right down. And Izzo jumped up. His daughter jumped up. I jumped up, and I was already standing up. Yeah. So, I mean, it was right then and there. I'm like, first I thought it was somebody else. I'm like, no, there's no way that was Trevor. I thought it was Denzel at first, to be honest with you. I thought it was Denzel. I was like,
no way. Thanks, Dad.
Right. Yeah, like, no way Trevor's jumping that high right now. He's only a freshman.
Right.
So, but he got up so high, and then like, that is my son. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so it was a real proud moment.
That's unbelievable.
It was a real proud moment.
Great question, Jock from Clinton Township. All right, Phil from Detroit. Oh, this is an interesting question for Trevor. What is your most embarrassing moment as a player? Have you ever had an embarrassing moment as a player, Trevor?
I don't really think I have.
No embarrassing moment at all? Went down the wrong side of the court or something?
Nah, that's my sister. She used to do that.
Your sister used to. But no embarrassing moment?
I mean, not none embarrassing.
Okay.
But maybe a missed layup or something like that.
You've missed a layup before?
Yeah, I missed a layup.
I've done it plenty of times, so hey. What about you, James? You got one?
Do I have one?
Any embarrassing moment on the court? A blooper moment, if you will.
Well, I mean, I went to one game, you know, how we had those tearaways.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot to put my shorts on one game.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you tore away your breakaway pants.
Right.
And you had nothing underneath?
The shorts, made my underwear or whatever. So it was an embarrassing moment.
That is a hilarious moment. Yeah. All right, good question, Phil from Detroit. Okay, Bill from Saginaw wants to know, do you have a certain artist or song you listen to before you hit the court, Trevor?
Most of the time I listen to DMX.
DMX?
Lord, Give Me a Sign. It's like the one of the most, like, it just touches me every time. It gives me the chills and everything before I play. That's like one of the songs I listen to every time.
Gotta love that. All right, again, that was Trevor Manuel and his father, James Manuel, joining me for last night's edition of Current Sports TV. Folks, a fantastic episode. If you want to check out the episode in its entirety, just simply go to video.wkar.org and you can watch it right there. We have it posted as we speak. And also on that website, you can watch any episode that we've done in the history of Current Sports TV. How about that, folks? You also, with that episode as well, you get to see part two of my sit down with Magic Johnson. You'll get to see some highlights from the Capital City Stealth Mid-East States Tournament game against the Michigan Renegades on Saturday. Highlights from MSU Nebraska. All of that and so much more, folks. Just simply watch it and go to video.wkar.org. And as time goes on, too, we'll have more information about that unbelievable philanthropic endeavor that Trevor Manuel, along with his father, are partaking upon with the Trevor Manuel Team Trevor Foundation. How about that? That's great stuff. For Trevor to be that young and to want to do something like that, I mean, wow. I mean, my jaw was just on the floor when I first heard about it. All right, well, let's hit the first come back. We'll dive and talk into some college football, folks. Michigan State and Purdue, you know, Michigan and Penn State, all of that and so much more. Come on right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. Yeah, that's some Earth, Wind, and Fire for you on this Friday, October 10th. That's right, folks. If you're still at work, hey, you only got a few more hours and the weekend is here and you get to sit back, relax, and enjoy some college football as well as the NFL on Sunday. Oh, man, it's right around the corner, folks. But before we get to all of our college football previews and dive into MSU and Purdue and Michigan and Penn State and just the overall scene of college football this Saturday, of course, I want to talk some Red Wings, seeing as though the Red Wings opened up their season yesterday at the Joe, a great start for them as they topped the Boston Bruins 2-1, a comeback victory over Boston as they led, Boston led 1-0 after the first period. But man, a gritty effort to pull that one out, an entertaining game to say the least. How about that? How impressed were you watching that game, Alex?
First of all, Al, happy Friday, man.
Happy
I know
Friday.
You have some big birthday plans this weekend, right? Aren't you heading down to Ohio?
I'm getting out of town, going to Ohio just to relax a little bit and enjoy myself since MSU was away. But yeah, man, definitely.
Leave your Michigan State shirt at home.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I wouldn't be. Well, you know, I actually got a chance to wear, which is very rare because normally every day I'm outside reporting, you know, on something MSU.
Right.
I don't get to wear MSU gear. And you could probably say that too. I
mean, absolutely.
You being a journalist and outside covering Michigan State sports, we don't get to rock the green and white wear. But seeing as though yesterday I had nothing really to cover, I just rocked my MSU hoodie all day. It felt kind of good.
Yeah, but you're going down to Columbus, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I'll be in Columbus.
So right
Ohio,
in Buckeye territory, man.
I know, right? How crazy that'd be.
So
yeah.
Don't wear any MSU stuff.
Columbus, you know, Columbus is actually a really nice nice city. It's a nice little town. I went downtown Columbus the last time I went there. Really nice downtown area. It's a nice city.
It is. And you're talking sports and their facilities there, their academic center, the library. Their library is a museum.
Yeah.
Have you seen the library?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I've seen pictures. You know, Ohio State has like one of the biggest campuses in the entire nation. Crazy. It's unbelievable.
Nice.
But yeah, I should have some fun knowing just to relax a little bit. But yeah, happy Friday, my man. And also
Friday.
Andrew Hayes joins us. Andrew, man, you're killing the headliners. Good stuff with that, brother.
You know, I'm doing my best. I'm pretending like I know what I'm doing, and I hope that it's coming through as good pretending.
No, the people love you. You keep pretending, then Andrew.
That's,
keep pretending because it's all working.
All right. I'll do just that.
Well, to talk some Red Wings, though, fellas. I was very impressed with the Red Wings last night. I mean, this is really the ideal start that you want to have to start the season. I mean, this game, last night's game against Boston, had really the recipe to really everything that you want to see out of a first game, I guess you could say. You want to see a little adversity, see how the Red Wings deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
They were down early. They dealt with a 1-0 hole, climbed themselves out of it with really ideal play from their young bucks. How about Justin Abdelkader with the deflection on that first goal, and Gustav Nyquist, a guy who we talked about yesterday briefly about how he was one of the hottest players in all of hockey last season. But really amazing stuff. And I also want to call out, of course, Johan Franzen, because Franzen, he had an assist on not one of those goals, but both of
those
goals. Yes, he was big yesterday. So, I mean, again, you deal with some adversity, you play from behind, you get your young players stepping up in the crunch time and getting those two goals to win the game. And, you know, you get it against a formidable opponent, against the Boston Bruins, who are always a powerhouse in hockey. So, ideally, I mean, looking at those three aspects of it, very pleased if you're a Red Wings fan.
Now, there was a lot of criticism out in the offseason about the extension to Danny DeKeyser. That was a hot topic. A lot of fans did not think that DeKeyser should have been back. A lot of fans thought they should have put their money elsewhere with other defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to get on the box score to get a point, you know, that was nice to see too.
Yeah.
And that's also an aspect that isn't ignored, because a lot of people, if you went to Twitter in the offseason, the moment DeKeyser got offered that extension, you saw hands go up in the air. People were saying, that's it. I'm enough. I'm done with the Wings. As much as they've made it 22 straight playoff appearances, people are very feisty about their Wings. But overall, DeKeyser, I thought, played pretty well. And the main aspect, fundamentally, was the fact that they really grinded and had a lot of puck control that whole game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at the Red Wings team the last couple of years, minus the grind line from years back, they're more of a skilled team. You don't see a lot of the Red Wings grinding as much unless you're in the fourth and third line. But you saw a lot of the first and second line guys grinding out there with really good puck control against a Boston Bruins team that's, one of the best in the NHL, and two, all around, just a great team with different kinds of lines, a lot of different skill sets. So
definitely.
I thought puck control, the grinding, DeKeyser getting in on the box score, those three things, I think, were the best parts to watch last night.
And ideally, I mean, looking at, you know, how the Red Wings were able to come back in that game, let's be honest here. And that first goal that was given up, of course, getting past Jimmy Howard.
Some cheese.
I mean, that was just, you know, one of those goals.
That's
hard for Jimmy Howard to stop. I mean, it was a deflected pass. Patrice Bergeron puts it right in front of the net. That's hard. You know, and just if you take that away, if they don't make that one mental error, hey, we could be talking about a 2-0 win here.
Aren't the Red Wings used to that, deflection goals?
Exactly.
I mean, that was the swan song last year.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. But overall, I thought very solid play. Andrew, any take on the Red Wings?
I mean, Sharg, you pointed this out, but DeKaiser in the second star last night. So that right there, that's a huge thing for him. I think Nyquist scoring a goal is huge. The Red Wings at this point, I feel like it's better for them to see less Johan Franz in production, guys like that. Can't rely on them for too much longer.
Exactly,
so you want to see that next wave of talent that the Red Wings need to have come in. You want to see them start producing. And having Nyquist score a goal last night is definitely a good sign for the Wings moving
Keep
forward.
In mind, Al, we're talking to a Blackhawks connoisseur in Andrew Hayes.
Get out of here. You're a Blackhawks fan? I didn't know that, Andrew. Why?
I'm native Chicagoan.
Oh, yeah? That makes sense. That makes
sense. Suburbs of Chicago. And so, I'm riding high too last night, though. Patty Kane and his silky mitts scored just a beautiful, beautiful shootout goal last night.
Who did they play yesterday?
They took on the Stars last night.
Okay.
Won in a shootout. Pretty ugly game, but Patrick Kane in his hands. They can save just about anything.
Without a doubt. Okay, I always forget that Andrew's from Illinois, if you will. Gotta love that, too. But, yeah, as far as the aggressive aspect of this, folks, Red Wings were certainly the aggressor yesterday. They outshot Boston 24-17. 7 takeaways. Jimmy Howard had 16 saves on 17 shots. That's a 94% save percentage. How about that? That's pretty feisty there. So looking for Jimmy to get off a good start. He certainly had one yesterday. All right. Let's talk some college football now, folks. MSU and Purdue. That's right. Michigan State hits the road. They haven't been on the road in about a month now. It feels kind of weird not to have a game at Spartan Stadium on a Saturday. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, they now hit the road to play their second Big Ten game of the season against Purdue. Again, folks, as I said at the top of the hour, I don't know if you guys read this or at all, Andrew or Alex, but it was a pretty hilarious article done by Graham Couch in today's Lansing State Journal, because there are a lot of people who feel that this game lacks a lot of luster. I mean, who wants to watch MSU and Purdue? Michigan State should blow them out, right? So Graham Couch decided to list the 10 reasons why you should watch the MSU and Purdue football game. Some interesting stuff. You know, he kind of took the comedic route on a few of those reasons, relating Tim Stout of WILX Channel 10 News in one of the reasons, and his son who works in Purdue Athletic Communications, also even bringing up the Purdue mascot, which is pretty funny as well. But overall, I mean, I think for Michigan State, this is a take care of business game. That fact kind of exemplified, seeing as though last Saturday, I mean, it was chaos. It was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of chaos in the world of college football. So many upsets taking place. MSU has to go in and take care of business against a Purdue team that, let's be honest here, isn't that great. You know, looking at a few aspects here for this team, Danny Etling, now he was the starter this season as far as the quarterback position is concerned, and then was not great. Let's just put it plain and simple. Austin Appleby took over and will get the start on Saturday at Illinois. His first start, he went 15 of 20 for 202 yards. So solid, but hey, that's not playing against a Michigan State defense. As far as, you know, that tailback position is concerned, now Raheem Mastert, he started the season at running back for Purdue, but he just could not take care of the football. Way too many fumbles. Akeem Hunt now takes over and has been pretty solid so far for Purdue in the backfield. 90 yards, 14 carries against Iowa, and then 177 yards on 30 carries against Illinois last week. So, hey, he's a guy that can certainly do damage. Purdue statistically, though, is in the middle of the pack when it concerns Big Ten rushing. So look for Hakeem to get a lot of touches on Saturday. Purdue's defense, it's bad, folks. It is pretty bad. It ranks second to last in the Big Ten, actually. And as far as Connor Cook, looking at his production in this game, to make an early prediction, hey, I think Connor Cook's going to have a big game. Purdue, again, they rank second to last in the Big Ten defensively. They give up 269.5 yards, an average in the passing game. So Connor Cook, a guy who felt as though the offense took a step back against Nebraska on Saturday, they may be taking 20 steps forward against Purdue, Alex.
And you know what? The passing game is going to be major down the middle of the field. Purdue without their best linebacker, Sean Robinson, who's out with the ACL injury. No senior linebacker. They have a redshirt freshman that's going to be at the weak side. So you're talking about passing, McGarrett Kings, those slot receivers. You're talking R.J. Shelton. Those guys are going to have
Tony Lippett. He's going to have another big
specifically
game.
Specifically slot across the middle with linebackers.
Right.
Shelton, and McGarrett Kings are going to have a field day. Lippitt, I'm sure, will get great deep ball passes. But most of all, you saw it last game. Dave Warner wanted to get Jeremy Langford tons of touches. And that's the reason why they didn't play Dalton. With the linebackers out, I think they'll get a good job of mixing up the slot with a good running game down the middle. I'm looking for Langford now. This might be a surprise instead of Cook to be the big name of the day on Saturday.
Interesting. All right, what about you, Andrew? What are you looking for on Saturday?
This is a big-time get-right game for the Michigan State offense. Mm-hmm. Last week, they were bad. They were flat-out bad. Mm-hmm. The score didn't reflect it because the defense bailed them out pretty much every single time that there was a mistake. But I'm looking at the numbers here, and I think Michigan State had one drive that spanned more than 50, or they had two drives that spanned more than 50 yards. And two of them, and one of them was on that big play, that 55-yard bomb that Cook threw in the first quarter. And other than that, it was offense kind of messed around for a couple downs, gave it back, and then defense had to bail them out. So I'm just looking for the Michigan State offense to figure out whatever went wrong against Nebraska, iron that out against Purdue, and show what they've shown prior to Nebraska.
Yeah, it's kind of like with that MSU offense last week. They did enough. They did just enough that Cook hit enough big plays last week to pull out that win against Nebraska. But, you know, interesting statistic here. Cook's completion percentage was below 40%. Definitely not, you know, a normal type of caliber performance when concerning Connor Cook. So, hey, I think Cook comes out, and this whole team comes out sort of with a chip on their shoulder, seeing as though a lot of the questions, including a lot of mine on Saturday, happened to be what in the world went wrong as that game dwindled down. The mood in that presser on Saturday, Alex, I don't know if you felt this way, but it was almost like they just lost the game, to be honest with you. They have a chip on their shoulder looking at how they finished that game. I think coming out upset about how things ended last week is going to be a huge facet to how they break open the doors against Purdue.
Yeah, upset probably is a good word to describe it. I'd say just disappointed. But overall, the big thing I think they're going to try to correct is a lot of those lackluster gimme plays, like the player misconducts. Those four penalties they got, that was brutal. The question was asked, what did you guys stay to composure when you got those player misconduct penalties? They didn't even know what to say. So that probably was pretty harped on this week. Penalties. That's something that they don't want to get into.
Yeah, definitely. So your sleeper for that game is going to be Jeremy Langford. Do you have a sleeper here? Did you think somebody's just going to break out and have a great game, Andrew? No. Not really?
I'm just looking at the offense as a whole. I don't have anybody in particular. Connor Cook, I think I would like to see him have a much better game. He was very pedestrian against Nebraska, 234 for one touchdown and one pick.
Yeah.
I expect better from him and from the offense as a whole because, like I said, it was bad. But you know what?
Right.
Alex, talking about those player misconduct penalties, I bet you none of those happen if the student section sticks around for the whole time.
Bro, you got to be kidding me.
Are we really going
You're
going
to blame the students right
really
now?
We're going there, guys.
Why don't you ask
Andrew
Maryland? Why don't you ask Maryland student section who Scott Van Pelt had to beg to come to their games?
You know who it was? It was the clapping, Alex. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was the clapping in the student section. Those
the
two things combined,
section.
those were just, you can't overcome such things.
As far as a sleeper for me, though, hey, I want to, this may be a surprise to you guys, something we kind of overlooked, I think. But the special teams, for me, was surprisingly not to its normal efficiency. In the first half, the special teams is great. But in the second, kind of heavily suspect for me. Mike Sadler, he put two punts inside of the five-yard line, but his line drive kick in the fourth quarter, a big reason why Nebraska was able to return that kick for a touchdown. You just don't see that from a special team. So I think they come back and have a great game as well. And Michael Geiger, he made two field goals inside the 30. But, of course, doing that one in the fourth quarter that had me scratching my head like, oh, my goodness, I think MSU's going to lose this game. But I think they rebound as well. All right, let's talk Michigan really quickly. Of course, everything that's going on with this program has been so negative the past few weeks. The whole Shane Moore story coupled with the losses, the Brady Hoke jokes left and right, Dave Brandon and his speculation and the protest on campus. Can we talk about X's and O's for a minute here, Alex and Andrew? Because I think right now, you know, playing a Penn State team and, of course, and with all of that, Derek Green being out for the season now. Okay, so you play a Penn State team who's coming off a loss, who's foaming at the mouth. Yeah, you know, it's a game. It's at the Big House. I'm pretty sure the student section is going to be one of the stories in that game to see how many people come out for this game. But for me, looking at Penn State and Michigan, I think that Davion Smith is a back that can do a lot of damage in this game. I think him now merging into that role with Derrick Green being out. Davion is a tough back. He's a guy who runs hard. He's fierce. A lot of people was comparing, you know, Davion to Ameer Abdullah, to be honest, which is at the beginning of this season. With Derrick Green, of course, you know, of course, getting that start, though. But Davion is a guy who runs kind of like Ameer. So yeah. I think he may have the potential to have a big game here. Devin Gardner, let's be honest here, please. Let's stop toying around with the quarterback. Devin Gardner is your guy. He gives you the best chance to win each and every game. He went 13 for 22 for 178 yards against Rutgers last week. Two touchdowns on the ground. Devin has the potential to have a big game here. Devin Funchess, I think, you know, looking right now, his stats are through the roof when comparing his stats with other offensive juggernauts. I don't even know if I could use the word juggernaut when talking about the Michigan offense here. But Devin Funchess has been far and away the best offensive player on this team. He has more than twice as many receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns than any other Michigan player. Devin, you got to get the man the ball in this game, without a doubt. In the end, though, I just don't see Michigan winning this game, though. I think Christian Hackenberg, if you give Christian too much time in that pocket, he will burn you, and I think he's going to do that tomorrow.
That's what Northwestern did when they only gave up 6 points. Mm-hmm. 6 points to Penn State. I mean, that's the thing with Hackenberg is he's a great quarterback. He's got a lot of hype around him. He's a sure thing pro. I mean, your only question about him now is, what in the world has been up the last 2 weeks? 13 points against Rutgers, 6 points against Northwestern, against two teams that are known for their offenses, not their defenses. What in the world is going on? I saw an interview today with Mark Snyder from the Free Press. He interviewed a Penn State beat reporter that said this Penn State team is just awful, that Michigan should beat them, which I kind of laugh because if you think about it, Michigan is really the team that's awful.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
You're coming against another awful team.
Two awful teams going at it.
So,
case, huh?
But yeah. So I mean, Derrick Green, that for me is the game breaker. I still think Penn State will pull it out. Yeah, it's at home. It's at the Big House. But that's the thing. I don't think you're going to see students there, man. I think the students have lost faith. You saw the protests. Some, I'm sure, aren't going to the games. It's a night game. Mm-hmm. Look at what happens in night games with Michigan State. You don't think the same thing's going to happen at Michigan?
Yeah.
Please.
And I saw Desmond Howard. He's kind of he had a statement today saying that, you know, former MSU, Michigan alum are coming back and trying to, you know, breathe some life into this program. But, Andrew, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow, man?
I mean, like Alex just said, we're dealing with two questionable teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, Penn State they don't have a good win yet.
No, they don't.
And that Northwestern loss is ugly. Yeah. 29-6, that is a tough performance.
But they've sleep on Northwestern, though.
That's true.
I think this Northwestern team is a solid team this season. They're proving it right now.
See, we get to talk about that every year, and usually it's after about week five that Northwestern has some kind of collapse that just extends for the rest of the season.
That coming, huh?
I'm not saying it's coming, but it's like when the Giants barely make the playoffs every year in the NFL. It's just something that happens that we talk about, and it's fun until the inevitable happens every single year. But Michigan is just an absolute dumpster fire right now. It is just an absolute disaster, and I feel like a homer when I say that, talking about Michigan being bad, but they really are that awful.
They are that
right
awful.
Now.
No, the proof is in the pudding, baby. I mean, just looking at this team these past few weeks, it's bad. It's really, really bad right now. If you had to give a prediction, give me some score predictions, guys. In the Michigan game first, what would you go with?
I'm going to say Penn State 28, Michigan 10.
Okay, that's kind of a high-scoring game right there. Alex?
I'm going to say Penn State 20 to 13.
Okay, I'm going to go Michigan, let's go. I'm going to go Penn State 17, Michigan 14. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. So I'm going to go, but we all agree that Penn State is going to pull this out. And Michigan secondary, just want to wrap our discussion talking about them. I mean, Gary Nova had more than 400 yards through the air last week. Three touchdowns, no interceptions. That secondary is also horrid for the Wolverines. All right, keeping this train moving on now. It is Friday, folks, and Reflection Friday, where we like to reflect on what has happened in the world of sports this entire week throughout all the stories we've talked about and covered here on Current Sports and also beyond Current Sports. I mean, there may be something that we didn't get to. What are your favorite stories, sports stories of the week? We'll start with Alex.
Man, it has to be the demise of Adrian Peterson. The fact that this guy was top of the world, best running back in the league, Heisman Trophy winner, mm-hmm. Oklahoma stud, surefire Pro Bowler each year. Now the guy can't even see the field. Just amazing. And what the news coming out about him smoking marijuana before and admitting to it before he takes the drug test?
Did he take the drug test first?
He took it, then he knew he was going to fail it, and then he told them that he did it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But, I mean, and that's what Andrew and I were talking about, is how dumb can you be?
Yeah, I know, right?
It's not like don't have the spotlight already on you.
And, you know, perception is certainly reality, because I don't know about you guys, but prior to this whole Adrian Peterson fiasco that was sparked by the child abuse situation, I thought AP was one of the most clean-cut guys in the league. I mean, a nice guy, very well-spoken. I mean, his story about, you know, when he had the ACL injury and how it was documented and how he came back and how he relies on God and his faith. I mean, I'm sitting like, this is one of my favorite players in the league. Now that's completely flipped around. Andrew, what's yours?
Mine is going to be Manny Pacquiao making his debut in the Philippines Basketball Association.
Get out of here. Really? What is he doing there? I didn't see the story.
Yeah, he scored 1 point on a free throw, obviously, committed 2 turnovers, and the 5'6" boxer grabbed a rebound.
Really?
In an 88-77 loss.
Hold on, so is he playing? Hold on, what's the name of this league?
This is the Philippines Basketball Association.
So he's an official player in the Philippines Basketball Association right now?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He plans to only play spot minutes because he's training for a fight. I think it might also have to do with the fact that he's a 5'6" semi-professional basketball player. But Manny Pacquiao branching out, senator, boxer, and now apparently professional. I use that term loosely.
Player. That's unbelievable. Manny, I guess he's just he's bored. You know, he wants this whole Mayweather fight to happen, but he's bored, so why not play some hoops, all right? Why not get on the hardwood? How about that? I did not see that story. For me, there were a few here. I have 3 just to kind of wrap up the show. Colin Kaepernick fined for wearing his Beats headphones. I thought that was pretty funny, considering the fact that the NFL, first off, they have, I guess, signed an endorsement deal with Boss. Colin Kaepernick is officially with Beats, and he decides to wear his pink Beats headphones in a presser, and they say, nope, you can't do that. We're fining you $10K. Interesting story there. I found that pretty funny. Michael Vick slacking off. Andrew, you actually brought this story to me yesterday.
Awesome.
Which is pretty pretty funny. Vic, of course, you know, has gotten very comfortable now, I guess, being in that backup role to Geno Smith for the New York Jets. He went on the record to say, yeah, I kind of slacked off last week in practice and didn't take my rep seriously. And that's the reason why I kind of just hacked it up during the game last week, Sunday. So that got a lot of press. You know, Vic said his wording may have been construed a little bit. He should have chosen his words wiser, I guess you could say. But, Vic is really comfortable just being the backup and collecting the check at the end of the day. I mean, but who wouldn't? I mean, hey, I kind of see where he's going with that. But still, you got to be game ready, Vic. And how about an NFL team possibly in L.A.? I know. This has been a story that we've talked about countless times. It's been talked about L.A. possibly getting an NFL franchise for quite some time now. But the mayor is saying that, we could see one as early and highly likely as early as next year. Interesting stuff. So 3 interesting stories from me there that we didn't get to this week on Current Sports. And we still have not gotten to this FCC broadcasting Redskins story. I promise you, folks, we're going to get to it next week, okay? Promise you. You got my word. You got my word, all right? Well, that's all we have for today's Current Sports. I want to extend a heartfelt thank you for all of you who tuned in to today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic weekend of football, folks, and be easy, people. We'll be right back.